Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil,
the best proof of knowing God is living life like the way Jesus lived it. When you are looking for a hero to follow, choose Jesus.
Knowing God isn't proven by what we say, it's revealed by how we live. In this week's lesson, Pastor Neil teaches that the truest evidence of knowing God is a life of obedience. Words may sound convincing, but actions never lie. When we walk in obedience to God's word, His love is made complete in us. Our thoughts, choices, and relationships begin to mirror His heart. And that's where Jesus redefines love. Pastor Neil asks, "So how can you be sure you truly know God?" 1. Obey His commands. 2. Love with the heart of Christ. 3. Reject hatred, always, without exception. Anything less, he warns, means we haven't truly come to know Him. Because knowing God isn't just a belief, it's a transformed way of life. Let's listen to Pastor Neil in this week's lesson. How to be sure you know God.
So how can I be sure? How can you and I be sure that we know God? Say that with me. How can I be sure that I know God? Now, if you don't mind, I wanted us to read this few verses from a different version of the Bible, just so it can communicate the understanding. The NIV, the King James, all are not doing a good job, but the Passion Translation does something. So please, ready? 1 John chapter 2, we start from verse 3. Here is how we can be sure we have truly come to know God, if we keep His commands. Verse 4. If someone claims, "I have come to know God by experience," yet doesn't keep God's command, he is a phony, and the truth finds no place in him. Verse 5. But the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. We can be sure that we've truly come to live in intimacy with God. Verse 6, not just by saying, "I am intimate with God," but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. Verse 7, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one that you had from the beginning, and you've already heard it. Verse 8, yet, in a sense, it is a new commandment, as it is truth is made manifest, both in Christ and in you, because the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already blazing. Verse 9, anyone who says, "I am in the light," while holding hatred in his heart towards a fellow believer, is still in darkness. Verse 10, but the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. Verse 11, come on, gather every energy and let's go for that. Go, but whoever hates a fellow believer lives in darkness, stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he is going, for he is blinded by the darkness. How can you and I be sure that we know God? The apostle is giving us a simple test. Yeah, there's a way we can know. And I'm sure when you meet most people and say, "Do you know God?" They will say, "Yeah." So let's get into this and begin to find out if we really do. Amen. So number one, please write it down, that the best proof of knowing God is in our obedience or keeping God's command, right? The best proof of knowing God is a life of obedience. A life of obedience, not when you pick and choose. When you obey. Verse 3, 1 John chapter 2, let's look at verse 3. I'll read it again. He said, here is how. So there are no doubts around, right? He's telling, he says, here is how. This is a guy who spent a lot of time with Jesus. And after about 3 decades after Jesus had left the earth, he still is telling the people, this is how we know we had a relationship. He said, here is how. If we keep his commands. Please, do not let anybody talk you into thinking that you can walk in God and keep disobeying him with impunity. You can't do that. He says, the only way you can say, these words are very harsh, but to us in modern day, right? But it is the truth. He says, as long as you choose not to obey God, you do not know him. Amen. And it's in those hours when we spend time in his presence and we become vulnerable, God will reveal you to you. Is anybody here that God has revealed you to you before in your time of worship? You realize after that you really don't brag anymore because he showed you things that you thought you were better. And after he opened your eyes, you realize, not so fast. Because if this is the real me, then something ain't right. You had what I call the Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 moment. When God revealed himself to the prophet, before then he had pronounced 6 woes to the people. God reveals himself and he pronounces the 7th woe to himself. Now he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I pray that God will bring you to that place. The place where he shows you who he truly are. Once that happens, nobody will tell you to obey him. You will obey him. You will what? Obey him. So the best proof, number one, of knowing that you have come to know God is a life of obedience. Number two, the best proof of knowing that God, that we have come to know God, is that it is in our actions. Let me put it another way. No matter what you say, your actions tells the truth. You can brag all you want, but your behavior, what you do, tells whether you are obedient or not. Look at verse 4. It says, if someone claims, or if someone say, I have come to know God by experience, yet doesn't keep God's commands, he is what? All right, you keep the one you chose to yourself. He's a fool. And the truth finds no what? Place in him. So he says, I know God if I obey him. I know God if my actions show that I am actually what? Obedient. Thirdly, the best proof of knowing God is in your respect for God. How many fathers are in the house? Let me see by hands. If you have a child who does not obey you, and they tell someone that I respect my dad, what would you say to that kid? Somebody said you slap him. I think that one is too far. But what would you say? I'm not talking about the other things we would do. What would you say? Anybody? Mothers, you can help out. Come on. You tell them that if you respect me, what? Then show it. Right? So the actions speaks more than the words. But notice what I've written here, that your obedience reveals how much you respect your daddy. Your obedience. It shows how much you respect your heavenly father. So the child of God who is constantly disobeying God, it tells you have no regard for God. Your obedience reveals your respect for God. If you respect God, there are things you're not going to do back and forth with him. Even when you do back and forth, you say, God, you have said this. I want to obey it, even though it is what? It is hard. Amen. So let's go back and try to understand what we have learned so far. Now, let's see it in verse 5, please. Let's read 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. He says, but the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. You see how many times he's talking about obey, 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 obey. You would think that knowing God is just about singing. It's about knowing a lot of scriptures. But he says, no, you have to obey. I think it was the Apostle James, who said these words, and I love it. He says, you believe in God. He says, you have done well. But the demons also believe that God is there. But the only thing is that the demons will never obey God. What marks the difference between you and them is your obedience. So the believer who chooses to flaunt his ego in the presence of God, constantly disobeying him, there is no difference between you and the demons. You know what I mean? I didn't say that, John. There's no difference between the two of you. But by the nature of my call as a surgeon, I have to cut, so I don't sound pleasant. But this is what he gave me, and I intend to stay like this till I go in my grave. Because are all doctors primary care physicians? Some are surgeons. So some cut. So all pastors can be all the time saying it is well. Some must cut. And that's my assignment. I cut. Amen. But the love of God will be perfected within the one who obeys God's word. He says, we can be sure we have truly come to live in intimacy with God. Let me read verse 5 from the King James. He says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is, right? But what he's saying is that the love of God has been perfected, and hereby we know that we are in him. Amen. So this is a serious matter. I said, it is what? So number one, how do I know that I have come to know God? Number one is what? I must obey him. Keep his command. Number two is what? My actions. So just don't say I obey God. Let's see it. All right. Number three is what? Respect him. Respect God. Don't mess around with God. If you say you are intimate with him, it would show in the way you respect God. And sometimes when you meet many believers and look at the way they are living, you can tell there's no intimacy. Because if intimacy is taking place, it is going to be very difficult for that person to disrespect what? God. Do you realize that the child that is very close to you, they find it hard to disrespect you? But the ones that seem a little bit what? Off, they can easily what? Disrespect you. So the closer, the more intimate we become with God, the easier it is for us to show him our respect. Number four, the best proof of knowing God is living life like the way Jesus lived it. When you are looking for a hero to follow, choose Jesus. Did you hear me? When you are looking for a hero to follow, choose who? Jesus. Look at the sixth verse. He says, not just by saying I am intimate with God. You know, a lot of people can say that. But he says, but by walking in the footsteps of Jesus. So if you are looking for a hero or a role model to follow, the scripture says the model is who? Is Jesus. Anything outside that, it is error. The next few verses, he begins to explain to us how we are going to live like Jesus lived. And please, I really need you to pay attention, and I'm going to hit some things that might not really sit well with you, but think about it. Go home. Listen to this message over and over and over again until the Spirit of God begins to stir something in you for you to work on it. Are you with me? Look at verse 7. We're going to read from verses 7 to 11, and I'll take them in piecemeal. He says, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old one. The old one that you had from the beginning, and you've already heard it. Verse 8. Yet in a sense, it is a new commandment, as its truth is made manifest, both in Christ and in you, because the darkness is disappearing and the true light has already what? appeared. Now, you notice that before he said this in verse 5, he was talking about loving people. Everybody say, love people. Look at the person sitting next to you and say, I love you. It's okay. You won't get into trouble because Pastor asked you to say it. I love you. Yeah. I've seen somebody do it in a nice way. They are doing next to it. Come on. Wave your hands. Come on. I love. The words of the apostle is saying that you have already had this command. What is it? What is the command they've had? Go to the book of Leviticus. We'll come back to the book of John. So you will know what it is. That is the old command. And now he's given a new one. Are you in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18? We'll read it from the New Living Translation. Please, if you can read with me, that would be great. We are reading the old command. Go for it. Do not seek revenge or bear grudge against a fellow Israelite, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Please notice that the word Lord is in caps. Anytime you read the Bible and you see the word Lord in caps, he's talking about Yahweh. When you see it in small letters, he's talking about Master or Adonai. All right? He says that this is the absolute person making this statement. So don't mess with it. And he's saying that love your neighbor as your... Come on, love your neighbor as your... So now wave at them and say, I love you. As myself. Now, the Apostle John is now saying that this is an old command. You've heard it, that love your neighbor as yourself. But the new commandment is that you love your neighbor as Jesus loves them. The two are not the same. Because if you need a model, follow who? Jesus. So now, the measure of the love is not you. All New Testament believers, stop saying love your neighbor as yourself. It's an old command. The new command is that you love your neighbor as Jesus loves them. So Jesus becomes what? The standard. Because I understand the apostle because, listen, some of us, we don't even love our own self, let alone go love someone. I have seen husbands and wives in marriages, and they are always like they've been baptized in lemon juice. Always sad. When you ask them, when I was little, they abandoned me. When I was little, I was abandoned. But I made the decision, I will not let those things put me down. Yes. Stop hiding behind stuff. Great people in the world are not better than you. The only difference is that they have chosen not to allow any of those things to put them down. Amen. So the old command is love your neighbor as yourself. The new command is what? Love your neighbor as Jesus will love them. So now wave at them and say, I love you like Jesus loves you. Okay, everybody now answer them, really? So the Apostle John is saying that you come to know that you know God. That you have reached that place where you know God because you love people as Jesus will love them. Please listen very carefully. No excuse. Love him. Amen.
On October 11, 2025, Bethel Campus Fellowship will host the Proclaim Freedom Crusade at the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Proclaim is a free annual event where thousands of students, alumni, and individuals from all walks of life gather to hear the message of Jesus, experience freedom from spiritual bondage, and receive empowerment to share the gospel with others. Rooted in Isaiah 61, 1-2, Proclaim focuses on the overall objective of having people encounter Christ, the brokenhearted healed, and liberty for the captives proclaimed. God is going to encounter you in a transformative way, and you will experience freedom. Come out to the National Mall in DC on October 11th. You do not want to miss Proclaim Freedom Crusade.
Do you realize that it is easy to love people who smile at you? But the ones who don't smile at you, Moses' law, is the law of karma. You do me. Oh, you all know that. That one is called as yourself. But you do me, I do you, Jesus. That's different. Are you here with me? No excuses. I have watched believers. Sometimes we even change seats where we sit. And by the time you figure out why has the seating changed, you notice that somebody is harboring something. Can I help you out? You will die if you keep on like that. Because aren't you tired? I think it was Nelson Mandela when he came out. And some of the people were interviewing him, and I think it was a BBC journalist who was interviewing that. How in the world can you come out of jail? People have put you in jail for 28 years, and they destroy the prime of your life. And you seem to be talking to them and having a time. And this is what Nelson Mandela said. He says, I have tried hate, and I have tried love, and I realize that love is better. Christians, we are the most hateful people. We, I included myself, so don't say I'm. We are the most hateful people. If they are not in my immediate clique, that's it. No. Sometimes the person who will help you is the one you don't like. If you look at the way I preach and teach and you hate me, when you really need God's blessing, you will miss it. Because I will show you what to do to get there. The one who is shouting hallelujah, hallelujah, only excites you. You leave, the demons are still waiting out there for you. But I will tell you, the demons are still there. So this is how you overcome. The old commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. But the new command is that do it as Jesus would have done it. That is how you come to know that you know God. Stop running around telling people, I know God, when you are hating everybody. Because they didn't sing your praise. One day we finish ministry. Normally when I get out of here, I just want to go into my office and say, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you gave me. Anything I have not said well, please, you take care of it. Because he's the only one who can touch people's hearts. It's not my words. You know. And somebody was trying to stop me on my way. And my focus was my office. I am not Jesus. Huh? Who can notice everybody? Even Jesus, there are people he passed them by. Did blind Bartimaeus not? If he didn't cry with Jesus, he would have passed by. So this person, after like 3 or 4 months, says, Pastor, I have put a lot of resentment in my heart because you ignored me. I said, huh? These things are signs that we are not growing. Offense, because I didn't see your face. You've seen your husband, you've seen your children, you've seen your boss, they gave you a paycheck. Just me is still in your heart. Come on. I'm sure when I ask this person, do you know God? They say, yeah, I do. But the scripture says, uh-uh. You only know God when you are willing to obey him, when you are willing to respect him. And notice I use different words, but they're all tied to obeying him. And the next one says, I must live as he what lives. Give people grace, because you don't know. In fact, my wife will tell you, I have something going on with my neck that shoots pain down my right arm. And sometimes when I'm standing here, I'm in real pain. But I cannot just get up and say, I'm in pain, so I'm going home. No. Because eternal souls is you. Your destiny matters. So whether there is pain or not, I will still come and deliver God's truth. Are you with me? That is how you come to know. When you have a problem and you don't show up in church, you don't know God. This is so difficult to say. You don't know God. I thought John, who is the apostle of love, we say very simple things. But the things in the book are very, in modern days, we will say he's harsh. He doesn't play around it. The old command is what? Okay, now look at the person sitting next to you and say, I love you as Jesus loves you. No more as myself. Come on, guys, we're not done. No more as... No more as myself, as Jesus loves you. Verse 10 and verse 11, and I'll close. Are you there with me? Let's start from verse 9. He says, anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his, please, I'm not adding to scripture, but just so it is not just his, so it is his hair, his or her heart toward a fellow believer is still in darkness. You realize how I said John doesn't mince words, right? Anyone who is holding hatred in his or her heart towards a fellow believer is still where? You see, now you all know don't want to talk. He is where? Verse 10. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone to stumble. Verse 11, but whoever hates a fellow believer lives in darkness. I'm only just repeating. Stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he is going, for he's blinded by the... Everybody look at me. Look at me. Let's have this chat. If you still hate a brother or a sister, it goes beyond 24 hours. You are in darkness. Pastor, where did you get 24 hours from? The book of Ephesians. He said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. So if it began in the morning, by evening time, it has to go. Can I talk to married couples?
Yes, sir.
This is one thing that we often think we have an excuse. You don't. According to scripture, by 24 hours, it's got to go. You got to give it up. Did you hear me?
Yes,
and the last time you did this, and the other time you did that, and the other time you did... Child, you're a baby now. I want to marry an adult.
Amen.
And some of us go as far as even changing bedrooms. I pray God will give you one bedroom building so you have nowhere else to go. You meet them and you ask, do you know God? Oh, I know the Lord. No, you don't. He says 24 hours. That is how much you are allowed to be angry. That's it. After 24 hours, you have to smile. Let it go. Look to the face of the person sitting next to you. Tell them, let it go. Now, is it an easy thing to do? The answer is no. But God says you have to what? Do it. Let it go. Are you learning anything? I have learned as a pastor that letting people out of your heart, it heals you. It just heals you. Keeping them in there is a waste of your time and energy. Let me correct the other one that we always talk about. I have forgiven you. Oh, you all know that. I've forgiven you, but I won't talk to you again. No, you haven't. Then the tricky one is, I have forgiven you, but there you go. I will keep my distance. Why you keep your distance? You have not forgiven the person. How would you know you are forgiving them if you don't get close to them? I know they're very difficult concepts we're talking about, but the Word of God says, if you don't do that, you don't know Him. And so if you don't know Him, wouldn't it be in His purview to say to you one day when you stand in His presence, I don't know you? That is the implication of it. So no matter the excuse you have, 24 hours, let it go. So how can you and I be sure that we know God? We obey Him or we keep His commands. We love Him or we love people as Jesus would love those people. We do not hate any believer under any circumstance. Anything short of that, you don't know God.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.